Welcome to BBS Talk Radio, the number one internet talk radio in the world. Tonight on For a Beautiful You show, we have the authors of the Celebrity Survival Guide, Travis Weimer and Shalice Ryan. Both are very talented, very accomplished individuals that wrote a very fascinating book that I have a lot of questions to ask of them, and I'm sure our listeners would want to hear exactly what they have to say about the Celebrity Survival Guide and the many questions they may have for Travis and Shalice. So welcome, Travis and Shalice, to For a Beautiful You.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Well, I guess we should start out with Travis and Shalice. With the Celebrity Survival Guide, what made you decide to write a book like this?
Because of the story. As a matter of fact, we live in the West Coast. We live in Los Angeles ourselves, and we were down at Venice Beach one day, and we were walking around one of the stores, and all of a sudden there are shrieks and screams coming across from the other side of the store, and this girl's panicking, and she's running up towards this, what we would consider a mid-level celebrity. Nobody too special, but someone who's appeared on television, and she's just screaming and running right at him. Well, of course, he ducked out, and he was out of there. And after, she just broke down in tears, crying and sobbing to her friend, saying, "All I wanted was his autograph." Travis and I looked at each other and thought, this fanatic, crazy behavior has got to stop. How can we help these people get what they want without acting like crazy people?
So we decided to get upon ourselves to sort of research the celebrity world a little bit, came up with some survival guide or tips, I suppose you could say, for hopefully to help fans not be turned into mindless idiots when they see somebody famous.
Now, you both live and work in the Los Angeles area, which is the celebrity capital of the world, so I'm sure you've seen your share of fans who are just dying to meet their celebrities. Now,
It's always weird sitting at a stoplight and looking around and, you know, look to the right of you and there's Jack Nicholson as Vertible. It's a little surreal sometimes.
Now, you've worked with some of the biggest names in Hollywood, and you have studied, witnessed, interviewed, and experienced the starstruck phenomena firsthand. So it's going to be very interesting to find out from you exactly what you've seen during your, along the way here with the fans and the celebrities.
There's certainly a shortage of stories, that's for sure.
Well, you were a published journalist by the age of 16, Travis, which is very young, very, very young. And that's quite an accomplishment for age 16. And you've been immersed in the film industry for the past decade and has worked with some of the most respected names in the industry, so you definitely are the one to be able to write the survival guide, as well as Shalice, who began her professional entertainment career at the age of 17. And now Shalice, besides being one of the authors of this book, is considered one of today's hottest rising international action actresses.
She has a double take on this. She's seen it from both sides of the fence. She gets mistaken for a few people from time to time, and it's kind of hilarious and it's kind of scary at the same time to see what, you know, somebody that's at that level actually has to go through sometimes.
Now, being a published journalist by the age of 16, Travis, you've been around to see quite a bit. What is your take on the starstruck fans today, and what can we do with the paparazzi so much out of control with this?
You know, Matt, that's a really good question. And at the end of the day, that's one of the main reasons why we wrote the Celebrity Survival Guide. And the first few chapters of our book, we actually kind of go in detail, chronicling a little bit of what it's like to live in a high-powered celebrity life. Now, when we talk about celebrity, I mean, we have broken celebrities down into groups of animals in our book. 22 different animals, 9 different categories, and there's different levels of celebrity. And what we like to refer to as celebrity is someone like along the lines of like a Tom Cruise or Will Smith, top of their game, recognizable all over the world. That type of celebrity is way different than somebody from like The Hills or The OC or the Kardashians, the reality quote celebrities. So book at the end of the day is to try to help fans realize that being a celebrity is a pretty difficult job, and you know, it's 24/7 because once you become a celebrity, you don't have any time off because you're recognized wherever you go. And right now there's this sort of underlying sense of entitlement with especially fans and more so with the paparazzi that, well, you're famous, therefore we own you and we can do whatever we want and we can do, and treat you however we want to, which is just not the case. So we're hoping that with Celebrity Survival Guide that fans will begin to understand that, you know, celebrities are humans too and we need to give them a little bit of space and we need to give them some respect and treat them just like we would like to treat our neighbors instead of, again, being kind of these, oh, you're famous, I can do whatever I want and can interrupt and barge and be rude. So it's just like any sort of animal. If you cage it and you put it in a situation where it gets backed into a corner, it can sort of rear its head and snap at you. You know, celebrities are no different. So
now, Shalice, you're on both sides of the fence, like Travis said, because you've appeared on shows such as CSI, if you don't mind me bragging, CSI, Miami, Frasier, X-Files, Desperate Housewives, and more. So you authored
this year, so yeah, she's...
I get a little nervous when you talk about it like that, because I wouldn't consider myself a celebrity, but I would say, even myself, I've experienced some pretty crazy things on set, and I've seen a lot of crazy things happen, and I've actually been mistaken a few times when you're driving a car that's kind of tinted, and you've got your sunglasses, and I used to have, you know, really blonde hair, and you're driving around the Beverly Center, which is, you know, a mall where you see celebrities almost on a day-to-day basis. And the paparazzi, oh my goodness, they just bombard you, they attack you, they get in front of your car, they say horrible things to get your attention or to get a rise out of you. And it actually got to the point where it can get pretty scary. And we talk about it like it's a distant thing from us, but when it comes to a celebrity that's with their family or their kids and they're driving in a car, we have a little bit of extra sympathy for the Britney Spears of the world. And, you know, this problem is not just lying with the celebrity. I think there's a trifecta of fans being appropriate and still maintaining, you know, obviously an interest in their favorite celebrity, which is encouraged. You've got your celebrity itself, which, you know, they make their own trouble sometimes, let's be honest. And then you've got the paparazzi, which we consider a quite dangerous category. And media can be such a positive thing in this day and age, but it sure can be a dangerous thing. And it feels like everybody can be a paparazzi these days with the technology that we have with cell phone camera phones, and there's websites, as we were doing our research, of where it's literally dangerously stalking these individuals. And, you know, people can call in and they can update as to where the celebrity is and know every move they make, and it can be a scary thing. So we're hoping to shed a little bit of light, but quite often we're the ones that make celebrities. The fans are, of course, but quite often we're the ones that break them as well.
You know, Travis and Shalice, it was a concern of mine with Princess Diana because she was trying to get away from the paparazzi and they were following her car. And, you know, there's been stories this that way and that way, but from what I see, the paparazzi was all over this car when they were traveling at high speeds to get away from them. That's kind of scary.
That's a perfect example of an extreme situation that we see all too often, and really the madness should stop. That's a perfect example. I completely agree with you. What a sad situation that was absolutely unnecessary.
You know, there's actually there was a movie made just a few years ago actually called Paparazzi, and Mel Gibson was the one that produced it and put it together, and I had some friends that have seen the film, and it seems pretty extreme, and a lot of people were like, there's no way that this happens, but a lot of the stories, what people don't realize is that many of the stories in paparazzi are actually stories of things that actually happened to Mel Gibson himself. So if you want kind of an exaggerated version of some of the things that will happen, I mean, in this film, there's an instance where they're goading the star and his family, and it gets to the point where it pisses him off, and so he punches him in the face, and of course there's a van there with all these cameras, and the paparazzi then, of course, turn around and put that all over to make money from it, and then sue him for assault at the same time. And that's the type of people a lot of these paparazzis are. They will manipulate and structure and push. And so when you see someone like Britney Spears eventually go from being mega famous to just having almost a complete and total breakdown, I mean, when you've got to put up with that pressure 24 hours a day everywhere you go, there's 60 people in your face, and there's no laws protecting you. They can get as close as they want to take your picture. After a while, that's going to take a toll on anybody.
Well, and celebrity world can be so fun. We love our celebrities. They're our royalty, and we can treat them and have so much fun with it. It's just, if we can help, you know, some fans who really do care not cross the line, then everybody can get what they want out of the situation, and you could walk away with the memory of a lifetime rather than, you know, a tragedy of a lifetime.
Well, Travis and Shalice, take us through a day in the life of a celebrity.
Let's see. Let me pull out Shalice's day planner here. Give you a day one. when you get to the point where, you know, we'll reference a film star, someone like a Tom Hanks or a Tom Cruise or that sort of thing. When they get into the mode where they're in a film or they're doing a couple of movies this year, I mean, Tom Cruise is well known for, you know, he's getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go work out for an hour and a half, and then he's rushing to set, and he's on set for an hour to 3 hours, depending on the makeup. If it's a sci-fi movie, it could be in makeup closer to 5 to 7 hours. And then you've got 12 to 18 hour days of shooting, and why everybody's getting released for lunch or dinner, usually your agent is having you go on set to do interviews to promote the movie that you did 2 years ago that's coming out in a week and a half, so you're trying to work, and then you've got to change faces and go promote a movie that you did for you was 2 years ago, and then rush back to set, and then do the same thing for dinner, and then there's the constant interviews of, all we need DVD features, and then at the main time, you still got to try to learn your lines, you still got to keep going on, you know, still got to try to stay in touch with your family, going to bed 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, sleeping for 4 or 5 hours, and then you're starting all over, and that's 5 to 6 days a week for 3 to 4 months. So, I mean, it's literally like taking a full-time job, 40 hours a week over the course of a year, and just cramming that into about doing that same amount of work in about 3 months. So you can imagine not only the physiological, but the emotional effects of that, being isolated, the mental stress that's coming along with that for having to maintain that full-time. And then when you couple that on to someone like Will Smith or Tom Cruise, they have the day off on Sunday. They try to go somewhere, and now they're surrounded by fans that are pushy or paparazzi that's in their face. It's just a relentless sort of assault. So when they finish their film, you know, them taking 3 or 4 months off to go be with their family is a very refreshing time for them, and they need that to be able to maintain the sort of face that we like to see, which is the jovial, fun, charismatic people that entertain our lives and then give us hope and inspire us through the type of work that they do.
Now, Shalice, you co-founded your own production multimedia company called Hollywood Evolved in 2006. What I like about what you're doing is I own Miss and Mrs. USPD's National Pageant. It's an award-winning pageant system. We focus on the self-esteem and positive attitude of each of our contestants who compete. And you're constantly seeking stories that shows the triumph of the human spirit. And I really love that in you. I mean, because, as you know, being involved in Hollywood, everything is negative or discrediting or, I mean, does good things come out of Hollywood anymore? Because you turn on the shows and you hear everything that's negative. What is Hollywood Involved in? What is your main goal with Hollywood Involved?
Hollywood Evolved was co-founded. Travis is a huge part of that. He's my business partner in pretty much everything that we're doing. And we have focused on triumph of the human spirit. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that. It made me smile, and I appreciate you pointing that out, because really at the end of the day, that's what we're striving for. It's difficult, but I'll tell you what, give everybody a little bit of hope. There's a lot more good happening under the current than you would think. And you know, you'd be surprised how powerful the voice of the American people can be. And at the end of the day, I think the numbers are starting to show that G-movies are making the money they need to make, and, you know, radar movies really aren't cutting the buck. There's all kinds of government incentives to make PG-13 or better quality movies that don't include, you know, graphic sexual content or overdoing it with the language or violence. And so there's really, I'll tell you, there's a real lining to the cloud. I think we, for a couple years there, it got away from the magic of Hollywood, and it really pulled down from our celebrities who weren't acting like movie stars or being, you know, in the light or understanding their responsibility, all the way down to the kind of material that was coming out. My production company purely focuses on the positive. I'm really glad. We're really glad to do your show. Personally, I have done a few pageants, and what a wonderful experience if it's presented in the right way. It's very similar to Hollywood. Girls have enough power to take what they want from a situation, if it's a good situation or a bad situation, and it's the same thing with a film. We can really find a lot of good out there. You can find good positive images to follow. You can find good role models to seek out. They're there. They're really doing the work. They just might be not in your face so much. So I get a little defensive when I hear people talk about the negative image and that's all there is, just because I'm in the middle of it all, and I can really see there are some really positive images coming through. You just have to seek them out, and you have to be smart enough to stand on your own two feet and say no to some things, you know? And
Shalise, we have a caller on line 3. Caller?
Hi.
We love it.
Diane, how are you, Lady Di?
I'm fine. How are you? This is Travis Weimer and Shalise Ryan.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
We're great. How are you doing?
I am fine. I'm a country singer. And so when you're talking about the paparazzi, I was like, oh my gosh. Diane knows, she can tell you a little bit more about me as far as that goes. But I did get married to a man that I loved very much just because of the paparazzi. And there's good paparazzi and there's bad, just like there are in anything. But there was some negativity that I was involved. The man that I was in love with was much older than I. And he was my producer, my manager, and very famous star out of Nashville, and I was afraid it was ruining his career, and he couldn't understand that, and he has been blessed this world, and in my arms on the 28th of October will be a year. And
well, congratulations.
I wish I could change it, you know, while he's still alive and say, okay, I don't care what nobody thinks, you know.
Well, it sounds like a country song right there, good paparazzi and bad paparazzi. It sounds like you got plenty to create a song around that.
Trust me, we've written, I don't know how many I've written since the passing, and we're in the middle of the studios. Getting ready to leave out either tomorrow or the next day, and just got back in, and it's a crazy life too, and I'm having to start all over because I had gotten ill. Help me die.
Gina is a Nashville recording artist who is going to be opening for Toby Keith soon, and she's going to be doing traveling. She's writing an autobiography about her life, and she's got a lot of things going on. And the paparazzi was after her, and the well-known singer she was engaged to out of Nashville, and it really hurt her wanting to, you know, have this relationship. So that's what she's more or less trying to explain, Travis and Shalise.
Well, I'm great. I'm proud of
you.
I'm really grateful
that
you come on and share your story. Oh, go ahead.
Pardon?
Now, in 2003, Travis, you founded the Movie Foundation. Give us a little synopsis about the Movie Foundation.
That question kind of ties into what we were talking about what Shalise was talking about with the Hollywood Evolved. 2003, and it's offline right now, but later this year it'll be up. I mean, the Movie Foundation is actually an entity I created to sort of help bring back some of that magic of Hollywood from, like, 50s and 60s, sort of the, you know, the golden days where Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne and Humphrey Bogart and Cary Grant, a lot of that class and style seems to sort of have been lost in Hollywood today, because it seems like the focus now is how much money does it make. So the idea with the Movie Foundation is we've created an entity where people can join up and they can sign on as members, and then they actually participate with us in the process of creating a film. So in essence, it's going to be sort of like an American Idol of filmmaking, where you sign up as a member, and you know it's $25 to be a member, and
that's
terrible. We have five different stories that the members vote on which story gets made. They get to vote on the type of design concept, who they would like us to try to get in the film. As many aspects of filmmaking as we can possibly involve, people will have a voice. So at least a few times a year, you'll be able to go to a movie theater going, wow, here's a movie that I'm going to go see because I wanted to see it before it was ever made. You know, Hollywood sort of does it backwards. They spend $150 million on making the film, and then they go and test the heck out of it, try to figure out why it's not working. We're just reversing that process. We're going to the public and asking them what they want to see first, and then going and making the movie based off of that.
Movies for the people, by the people.
You know, let me ask you, Travis and Celise, what happened to the era of the musicals of the 40s and 50s? Why did it die off, and do you think we'll ever see it again?
I think we'll start to go back into that now. They're starting to pop up. I don't know if we'll get to where it was the full-fledged nature of what it was in the 30s and 40s. You got to remember that 30s and 40s, film was still fairly new, especially if film was sound. And so the main entertainment up to that point in time in most people's lives had been the radio and the musical programs off of there. So it was a very related sort of crossover from the music of the radio onto the music on the screen. And as the audience became more and more sophisticated with getting used to seeing a moving picture with sound, they started to want to phase into more of that realism of it. Once you got into like the 50s, a lot of the war films and the westerns, and sort of faded off of that. And I think now people have kind of gone the opposite. People are getting a little burned out on the realism, and now they want to go back to sort of that fantastical world of just silly, fun, colorful, vibrant, nature.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm walking down the street, Shalise, and I, all of a sudden, see my favorite actor, John Travolta. Now, what do I do? I mean, how do I handle this where I could stop and say, you know, can I have your autograph, or I'd like to tell you that I've been a fan since your Band-Aid commercials of 1972. You know, how would I approach him without him thinking I was some kind of fool?
Well, first off, you're going to be in luck because he's a very friendly celebrity, but Shalise can give you some of the tips that we recommend when we run into people.
I know you have this in your book, by the way, too.
Let me first start by saying you have impeccable taste in celebrities. I'm a huge fan of John Travolta, too. Between him and William Shatner, I would just be starstruck myself. We give a lot of tips in the book, many that you can follow that make a lot of sense and will be a real extra help to you, but I can name three right off the bat that would really be a great place to start. And the first one is as simple as relax. Take a deep breath and breathe. You can watch and observe for a second and survey the terrain. You can kind of tell him on his way to work. You can see if he's with his family, and you can assess the situation once you survey the terrain, as any good hunter would. And by hunter, I mean a good hunter. I don't mean stalker. The second thing to do would be make a plan. Decide what you want from this celebrity. Do you just want to tell him that you think he's great? You hit the nail right on the head. You know, do you want to tell him that you loved his last movie? Do you want to tell him that you love the fact that he is still making movies and still successful and absolutely charming? Whether he's, you know, dressing up like a woman and playing Hairspray, or whether he's, you know, still a sex symbol for many of us. And then after that, after you've made a plan and decided what you want from your celebrity, then be prepared. And by being prepared, this is oftentimes where people go wrong, and I know that it sounds like a really simple little step, but it can make all the difference in the world. You may get 20 seconds with
her. I've got to step in there and say she is definitely right. I mean, the way you approach the celebrity, I want the book now after just what I've heard tonight. Because the way you approach the celebrity is everything. I mean, if they come up screaming and acting like crazy, you know, you don't know whether they are crazy.
Go into protective mode. Sure. Like they do, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So the celebrity is going, okay, calm down.
Right. This book is sounding so interesting, guys.
I know. And then when I heard about it, and I heard about Travis and Shalice, and I know many people that listen to the show are celebrity crazed, I thought the best way for them to have the right answers is to talk to the experts. And I thought that having Travis and Shalice explain this would be a perfect scenario.
Well, I'm really grateful that you have our guests on.
You know, it's funny because we actually, if your listeners go to our website, which is celebritysurvivalguide.com, we actually have a section where fans can submit their own sort of true celebrity encounters, both the good and the bad, because we're doing a little compendium to show people, you know, we're going to give some real life experiences and real life stories and kind of walk people through and analyze, here's what they did that was good and here's what they did that was bad. And so, we also, every week, we choose the top celebrity encounter, the funny story, or some that have been pretty awful that win just because of the fact that they survived the ordeal. Those people, we send a free autographed copy of the book. So there's people out there that are listening to your show, and they think this is a funny book, and they want to get it. You know, they can go to the website, but we also encourage them to submit their true story so we can kind of continue to share some of the things to not do and to do based on these real-life experiences that people have had.
Travis, why do some celebrities last for years and others are like a one-hit wonder where you see them for a little bit and then they disappear, maybe show up 20 years later?
Well, there's a combination of factors, really. I think there's so many different types of animals. To some extent, some of the celebrities they'll have a one-hit wonder and they'll be a little bit younger or maybe a little bit more immature. And they will suddenly think that they are and deserve everything that these people have been in the industry for 30 years deserve. So they get a bit of a huge ego. And what will end up happening is that ego will sort of overtake to the point where they don't want to listen to anybody and they think they can do it all themselves. And they stop doing those things that made them successful in the first place. Well, and then you have somebody like Tom Hanks. He's achieved a phenomenal rate of success. And he's what we would list as a lion in our book, sort of the king of Hollywood. And it's because it doesn't matter how successful he's become, he's always remembered where he's come from. He's remembered his roots. He's always been really respectful and nice to people, regardless of what their station was, whether or not it was just an assistant on set or was, you know, working with Steven Spielberg. He literally treats those two people exactly the same. And I think at the end of the day, that's really the difference between people that are kind of flash in the pan and those that last for years and years. The ones that last for a long time have that class and that style, and they have a respect for people just as people, versus thinking, oh, I'm rich and I'm famous, therefore I can do whatever I want, and people just be darned.
Shalice, in Chapter 4, I believe it is, your survival tips are very interesting. Why should we run the other way if stars mention their glory days of the 80s or early 90s?
I'm so glad that you mentioned that because they're one of my favorite animals. We put them in a category. They're actually a camel. And we call them pseudo-celebrities and their friends, the could've, the should've, and the never-were's. And a camel celebrity will do exactly what a camel does. They will get a little bit of fame, and they'll soak up all that water, and then they will cross the desert of celebrityism, and they'll stretch that out as far as they can, and they'll milk it for all it's worth. But really, they've never filled up with any kind of new talent. They've never really filled up with anything else that they've offered, and so that they will continue to live in their glory days. We make the joke that you should turn around and walk away right away, because they will sit there and talk about their glory days of when they were, how they were. They will think that you should glorify them above and beyond anybody else. And it's funny and it's a little bit sad, but you can get stuck for hours stroking their ego, if you will, if you get stuck into a conversation. Unless you had a crush on them when they were popular, and then maybe that's your celebrity, and maybe you should just sit and talk to them for hours and hours about themselves.
Oh, I know this is going to make you laugh, Travis and Shalise, but I was a big fan of Lost in Space in the 1960s. And I've always liked the actors and actresses on the show as well as the show itself. Even there was like a 2-year run, I believe. I had taken my cameras. I was a talk show host for a show for 5 years, a Hollywood show where they were there. And I have to tell you, I never get starstruck, but they happened to be there, the stars from Lost in Space, and I couldn't speak. I went up to them to interview them, and I just couldn't get the words out. I was acting like a real buffoon. So when you meet...
That's why one of the first tips is to remember to relax and breathe. Breathing is a very big, important thing to do. And Shalise and I have both had these instances where we've worked with some of the, some pretty impressive people, but we still sort of have our favorites. And when we run into those people, especially if it's unexpected, because you have such admiration for them and sort of hold them as this larger-than-life entity, when you do run into them, it does kind of cause you to catch your breath there for a minute and your heartbeat speeds up. You just get a little flustered.
I want to know what you did. I want to know what you did when you got up to them.
I did what Jackie Gleason did on The Honeymooners. What I did was I took a few deep breaths, like Travis was saying, and I got myself together, because here it is, decades later, after watching them on the Columbia-released VHS tapes of Lost in Space, and here I am interviewing them. I took a few deep breaths, and I did, figured if I didn't do this, I'm going to start looking like a fool because people are watching. So then I automatically started interviewing them. So like Travis said, it took the deep breaths, and then I continued the interview. But I was just in awe while I was interviewing them, and they saw it on my face, And in fact, one of the gals who played Judy on Lost in Space, her name is Kristen, and she looked at me, and she was smiling because I said, I'm just in awe interviewing you because I've been such a fan for decades, and, to watch you and then actually stand here and interview you is just, like, amazing to me. So
I want you to submit your story to us, because you are the perfect example of a great fan that has admiration, that can regroup, that can get under control. And I'll tell you what, those celebrities, you're the kind of fan that celebrities love. And you will find yourself having a great experience with them because you got yourself under control. You figured out what you needed, and you complimented them on their work. I mean, they do work hard, and you show interest in what they do. They're thrilled to be kind to you, and they will.
Let me ask you something, Shalise. In the book, I believe you have, is it true that Jessica Simpson didn't know what was Chicken of the Sea? Okay, I always, I think they want to make her look like that, but trust me, she did know what that was, right?
I'll tell you what.
That's a trade secret. We're under non-disclosure for that, part of the interview.
I don't know if you should ask this question or not, but it's kind of in your book, so I thought, I would ask.
There
you go, Diane.
You bringing that up. We can tell you a couple trade secrets. We can tell you that the reality shows that you watch are always at some level scripted. As a matter of fact, quite often they have writers on set that are writing things as they happen, and they will cut and edit stories to look hilarious. I'll tell you another thing about Jessica Simpson. I know that she's getting a lot of backlash right now, but that girl is a lot smarter than anybody wants to give her credit
for. Oh, yes.
And I have a feeling if there was an opportunity where she made a little goof or made a little joke, and then the producer said, hey, I bet we can turn this into a whole campaign, my best, and I cannot speak because I don't know 100%, but the producer in me would tell you that that was a perfect opportunity to take a small little funny thing that happened and turn it into a marketing genius move.
Look, here we are, 3-5 years later, talking about it in our book.
So it does work.
I didn't know if I should bring it up, but I thought I'd throw it in for
you guys.
You're
fine. You're fine. We love to stir Hollywood with people. I mean, we love it, and we want to protect it and do anything we can for it because, you know, I fell in love with the same kind of movies that you're talking about. I absolutely fell in love with musicals when I was a little girl, and the Pixar
she still
movies.
Randomly sings those songs when we're driving down the road.
I
in interviews,
her.
We're going into meetings, she'll just start singing Wizard of Oz.
That's true. You know, I saw Wally, and I, to this day, am enamored with Hollywood. And I would love to do anything we can do to protect our stars and treat them well. And when they're not behaving rightly, let's remind them that they're being ridiculous.
You know, Trevor, she's got a wonderful personality. She must be fun to be around when you're stargazing with her. I mean, she's just awesome. When we talk about
it. When we're stargazing, depending on who the star is, you know, she's like, we run into William Shatner, and I'm like, Shalice, page 98, breathe, come on. You know, I run into Jessica Biel, and she's like, Travis, 98, you gotta breathe.
Now, Travis, has a star ever approached you where you just couldn't get the control together? Are you pretty much in control when you're doing?
Well,
not always.
You know, I'll share a fairly embarrassing story where I pretty much didn't follow any of our tips. And
it was
a bit awkward. I grew up and I was a huge fan of Magnum P.I.
Okay.
And Tom Selleck is one of my favorite celebrities. And I had the opportunity to be working on a set that he was also working on. And I saw him coming out for lunch break and just kind of said, "Oh, Mr. Selleck," and waved him over. Well, I didn't stop to survey the terrain because if I would have, I would have recognized the security detail that was with him that was immediately all over me. and I would have realized he was going to lunch, so he wasn't in a hurry. And I'm a fairly big guy. I'm 6'3", and I really wasn't prepared for when he came up to me. He's actually a big guy. He was a lot taller than me, and he was really wide. And I'm so used to meeting celebrities that are so much smaller in person that the sheer intimidation factor of being kind of accosted by his security and then having him come up and stand right in my face and be kind of towering over me was a situation where I didn't recover from it all. In my mind, I was going to say, I love your show. It was great. I'm a big fan. And I think I ended up kind of breathing shallowly, sticking a limp fish hand out going, cool person. And before, you know, he's walking away and I'm just like, what's that? So, yes, I from time to time will ignore the rules to my own peril.
Now, you know, give us a definition of stargazing for those who don't know, Shalice.
I think stargazing is the perfect example of being a fan who is enjoying what they love. If you love celebrities, as I'm sure a lot of your audience does, it's perfectly appropriate. I would consider yourself a stargazer. You can sit and observe your favorite celebrity from a safe distance, and you can admire them, and you can enjoy them. You can appreciate their work, or you can appreciate them if you run into them on the street or they happen to be working on a set in your town, or you're even visiting Hollywood itself. Stargazer is someone who's completely comfortable, who's excited about their celebrity, who's positive about their celebrity, looks for the good in their celebrity. Those are the kind of people that we consider the top of the game, the best fan you can be, are the stargazers.
You know, Travis and Shalice, I'll be watching award shows, like the Daytime Emmy Awards or, you know, the Golden Globe Awards, and the actors and actresses are walking down the red carpet, and on the side you see the fans clapping and cheering, taking pictures, sitting in the hot sun. You know, if I was walking down the red carpet and they were there, do you want to bet I'd be shaking most of their hands and you know, just given them flowers or something because they are actually admiring me.
Well, we give Tom Cruise. Yeah, we give Tom Cruise a hard time, but I'll tell you what, I cannot remember a time, or in our research, I cannot remember a time where he has not taken the time to walk over to those people, even against the recommendation of his publicist or his people. And he says, no, these are my fans. And he will walk right over to them and shake as many hands as time will permit. And that's just flat-out impressive.
There's a lot of celebrities that actually will do that. You just don't, they won't ever really show that on TV, and I think it's because they're afraid that you'll have crazies think that it's totally appropriate to approach a celebrity at all times. And, you know, that is a fun environment for everybody. And, you know, it's kind of a controlled situation, and you're there to recognize them. And that's a situation where they're willingly knowing, okay, these fans are here to see me, so they're open to coming up and taking pictures and signing autographs and that stuff. And there's a lot of celebrities that will actually take extra time at those events just to do those sort of things. Shalice being one of them.
But what about the celebrities that behave badly, Shalice? I mean, here we are admiring them. You know, they're rich because of us. We're going to see their movies. I mean, we've been following their careers, and they're behaving badly. They don't want to sign autographs, so they say, leave me alone. You know, I don't have time for you, or whatever.
You should have seen Shalice before we became business partners. We had to have, like, a two-year boot camp where
very
we had to
funny.
Groom her.
No, I was just going to say, I spell around.
I don't, well, first of all, I don't believe that, Shalice, but go ahead, honey.
I frown on those celebrities, and we put them into an entire category. We call them the babies and the bullies. And I'll tell you what, I'm so disappointed when I see a celebrity treat their fans or their public with such disdain, and they get out of control themselves, and their ego goes awry. And at some point you have to look at it and go, shame on you. And eventually I think they'll lose quite a bit of fan base, as they should. They've done it to themselves. Everybody likes to come back.
100%.
And you've probably seen it more than I have, because you're actually out there living it. You know, they a lot of times they do things to themselves. They have extra time on their hands. Some of them still want media attention, and they think, any attention is still attention, and they'll do whatever it takes to get it, and they lose sense of themselves, they lose self-respect, and they lose respect. You know, I noticed that when they lose respect in their fans is when they start to lose respect in themselves, and where crazy things can happen. Now, the rock stars of the world are kind of their own breed. We talk about them as a bat. And they're kind of just their own separate breed, and they party and they live the life just because that's what a rock star does.
But normally they're partying with their fans, so it's not a disdainment of the fans.
Yeah, the kind of fans that I frown at, and I'll tell you what, if I had a chance, I'd scold them just like I was their mother, are the ones that are just rude to fans for no reason at all, and they feel like this little bit of fame entitles them to treat anyone they want to treat. I was on a set where I watched a producer who was a very big name and in their own right was a celebrity themselves, or in their own mind, and they made their assistant go get them water, which is fine, and then they looked at their assistant when the water was brought back to them, and they sniffed their nose, and they wouldn't touch their water because the assistant had not unscrewed the top of the water bottle. And that to me is just, I just think, shame, shame, shame on you. Where's your mommy?
So, you know, and it's funny, too, the celebrity culture, and this is, again, more prevalent, I would say, in sports celebrities and then the younger celebrities of the day, where, you know, they get this idea that once they become famous and once they have so much money, they can do whatever they want and there's no consequence. And that's, you know, the flip side is there's fans that feel like they can own the celebrity. Well, you know, there's a sense of entitlement with a lot of celebrities going, I can do whatever I want because I'm famous. And that's something that we're helping with the Celebrity Survival Guide, that we can start to rectify, to let people know, you know, just because you're famous and have a lot of money doesn't mean there's no consequences to your actions, and doesn't mean that you can go about and treat people however you want to. Which is ironic, because that type of celebrity that behaves badly, they will treat all of their fans and people around them like crap. But if somebody treats them that way, then they throw a hissy fit and go crazy. And it's just, you know, again, that common sense of treat people people the way you want to be treated. So.
Well, we have a quote in our book that's probably my favorite quote, if I had to say one was, and it says that talent is God-given, be humble. Fame is man-given, be grateful. Conceit is self-given, be careful. And that's really our warning to both fans and celebrities.
You also have another one. You also have another one in there, Shalice. I can't quote it offhand, but it's, I believe it was from another author that said that the actors and actresses work so hard to become famous, and then when they become famous, they wear sunglasses.
Yeah, that was by Fred Allen. He said, celebrity is a person who works all his life to become well-known, and then wears dark sunglasses to avoid being recognized. Yeah, it's funny, because George Clooney commented about that a little bit in the 2003 Vanity Fair issue. He was on the cover, and he gives some remarkable insights in that article about what it means to be a celebrity. And one of the things he talks about is, you know, as an up-and-coming celebrity, there's this goal of where I want to be. Oh, I want to be that $20 million movie star. And so you're working and working and working towards that end, and you see that light at the end of the tunnel, not realizing that that light's going to burn the heck out of you. But, you know, at the end of the day, because you've never experienced that, you work towards that. And then so he's like, it's funny because George Clooney talks about how it's really ironic to him that a lot of celebrities will work towards that goal and work towards that goal and work towards the goal, and then they reach it, and then all they do is complain about how tough it is to be there. And, you know, his point was, you know, look, it is difficult. I don't have a lot of privacy, but I also get to do what I love to do, and I have a lot of money. So the trade-off is, you know, don't complain about that.
Now, Shalice was comparing. Yeah, go ahead.
As far as the dark sunglasses, I can relate, and I'll tell you why. As an entertainer, when we walk on that stage and there's 50,000 people and it's being televised, you look your very best. You've got your hair people, your makeup people, your costume people, okay? When you're not, me personally, I wear the ball cap with the long hair out the back and the big sunglasses, but I do it for this reason. I don't want to disappoint the public.
Aww.
You know? It's not that I'm trying to avoid them at all. It's just, you know, everybody has to run to the store or run and do something. And sometimes, you know, you just don't want to disappoint your public.
Yeah, well, a different degree of pressure because your fans get used to seeing you all made up all the time, not realizing that
exactly,
you know, that is performance. That is not who you are. That's just the character you're playing when you're on stage.
Well,
exactly.
I think fans need to take a little more charge and say, you know what? I do love her. She's a great country singer. I'm a fan. And you know what? I know what I look like with makeup off, and you know, let her run around and do her errands without makeup. That's fine. We're not here to make fun of it. We're here to say, yeah, that's awesome. She's a mom. She's a parent. She's, you know, she has a temper sometimes. She gets, you know, frazzled. They're human beings, and I think that celebrities really have, really can have the true fans shine through when their fans support them. Under all sorts of
double-edged sword. It's really a double-edged sword.
Shalice, you spoke about actors being different than rock singers. I'm going to go to the daytime actors and actresses who are different than regular actors and actresses and rock singers. They seem to be more friendly with their fans. They're very fan-orientated. Why is that?
Did you ever see Soap Dish, by the way? It's a perfect example of a movie that was done a long time ago, and it's really a great movie, and it talks just exactly about that. I think something that is interesting to say about daytime actors and actresses are they have 40, 50 pages, 6 pages of dialogue that they have to memorize every day. And so their work is spread out a little bit more. It's a little bit more of a 9-to-5 situation. They're going to the studio. They have regular hours. They're not trying to cram a movie in. Oftentimes, they live within the vicinity of where they work, so they're not on set in, you know, the Ukraine, away from their family, isolated. And so they have a little bit more of a regular schedule. They have a little bit more of a regular life. And because of that, they can regulate who they are and their day-to-day life a little better. And I think they can balance things a little better to where they really can be themselves and be normal, and they're not put in extreme situations which cause, you know, different types of celebrities to act like animals.
Well,
you know,
I summed that up right.
You know, Travis and Shalise and Gina, we have 1 minute left to the show. Believe it or not, this has been an hour already, and I'm not even through half what I wanted to speak with you with you both about.
We will come back.
You come and back. You better come back.
I love it.
See you both on the show again.
Yeah.
Travis, I want to wish you the best, and Shalise, with your book, The Celebrity Guide, and it has a lot of information about what you can do when you meet your celebrity, you know, the do's and don'ts of what you should or shouldn't do. We want to thank Gina for being our special guest as well. Gina is going to be touring soon. And
thanks, Gina.
Making her album and autobiography, so we're going to be on the lookout for that. And we want to thank our guests for being on the show. And we'll tune in next Wednesday for A Beautiful You, where we have important, special, successful people like Travis and Shalise and Gina. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, guys.
Travis and Shalise, it's been just a joy having you both on.
I got to tell you, I am so grateful. We love your audiences. We love exactly what you're standing for. It made a big difference. When I was a young girl, I was put through a lot of really excellent programs that helped me grow as a woman. So I'm really grateful to you for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. You are truly a blessing and a joy for all women and an inspiration to even our contestants who we try to build up their self-esteem and celebrate their success stories.
I've been telling her for years, but she won't listen to me, so I'm glad you're saying it.
Yes, you truly are a success story, and God bless you and continue on with both of you with the work that you're doing.
Well, thanks for giving us a chance, and we'd love to come back anytime.
Oh, we'd love to have you. Have a nice evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.